Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignments over the weekend. On Friday, beginning today, your daily practice will be to practice your commitment, record what you notice at the end of the day. And then on Saturday, do your daily practice whether you feel like it or not. Practice ignoring any voice of resistance, especially I don't want to, I don't feel like it. Remember, we're no longer practicing not keeping commitments. We're training to be free of the conditioning that stops us from being here, keeping our commitments. And then on Sunday, do your daily practice. Be on the lookout for any subtle messages of self-hate. Use any negative message or experience of feeling bad as a reminder to redirect attention to what is true about you. Remember, we're practicing being what we are. We're not practicing being what we're not. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
This is Jamie in Delaware.
Well, hello, Jamie. Are you on a speakerphone, Jamie? You sound kind of in a tunnel.
I was on a speakerphone, but I took it off.
Okay.
Is that better?
Excellent. Yeah, you sound better.
Okay, well, I'm glad to be here.
What are you seeing? Yeah, happy to be here.
I can be in a place where everything is okay, which on one level it seems like that's true, that everything is okay, just the way it is now. But then I see how my ego comes in and says that, well, I want to have control. I want you and I want me to be certain ways, and then self-hate.
Suffering.
Or suffering.
A lot of suffering.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well,
I have a place where I can just be okay. And when I say that, then I was thinking a short time ago that doesn't mean that it's that I should just go do anything I want. It doesn't matter.
That is exactly right. I would say that you have nailed it absolutely. Every aspect of it. So one, yes, everything is okay. There is no alternative to the way it is. And when we get engaged with ego and its desire to have everything its way, it doesn't like not being in control. It wants to control you. It wants to control everything. Yep, that is absolutely so. When we go with that, we suffer. Okay.
Right.
Now,
I see how I'm doing that.
That's right. So not just you, all of us, right? When we come back to the present, then what guides us in our behavior is what we call the heart. Presence,
right.
The intelligence, what you are, not what you're not. You don't want to do anything that's harmful.
Right.
You just don't.
And I want to.
You just want to be a nice, a good person. Be
right.
Kind and loving. Yep.
And do the work. Or I know that if I want to be there more often, I need to do the work that brings me back there, keeps me there.
That's right. And I don't like to call it work because ego latches onto that. But what you want to do is practice it.
Practice it.
You want to practice in the same way that if you want to be able to play all your favorite music on the piano, you need to practice. And
right.
And if you love the music and you love the piano, then it's a joy to practice.
Right. And it's good for me. It brings me to a good place.
Right. It's good for your heart.
Right. One other thing I noticed I've been looking at is that when I'm in a good place or I'm loving myself and loving others, that doesn't mean I can't act to make change in the world in a compassionate way, because I can get caught there.
It's exactly so.
If I look at change, a lot of times that comes with negative judgment, but it's possible
right.
to work on change from compassion.
That's exactly it, Jamie.
Yeah,
because it's as simple as this. If you realize that somebody is hungry, you have two choices.
Right.
You can either let ego start railing about what's wrong with the world that people are hungry,
right,
or you could just feed the person.
Right. Yeah, one's a positive action, and one's just
goes nowhere.
Bigger negative and complaining and
yeah. Yep, and probably doesn't result in the person eating.
No, and it may get, no, it probably doesn't. It gets a lot of people upset and doesn't accomplish anything.
That's right. Exactly,
you know?
So.
And
yeah.
I did make a recording that's to try to bring me back to just accepting things where they are and telling myself that I'm okay right here. And I'm, so,
that's right.
That's
exactly right. And you're choosing... You're choosing love and compassion, Jamie. That's what it really comes down to.
Right, right. And I appreciate
yeah.
the song
yeah.
up for and you and Ashwini for playing a part in helping me keep doing the right thing.
Well, Jamie, I can speak for all of us. I am quite confident when I say we are very happy to assist in any way we can.
Right. If I...
Because you... are assisting us.
Well, yeah, we're all in this together.
Exactly
yeah.
right. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
well
all
thank
right.
you. And go
thank
happy.
You, Jamie. Go
bye.
Happy.
Right. Bye.
Thanks, Jamie. Sherry, can you hear me? Okay. I'm getting a few texts that say that I'm a little bit faint.
No, I hear you just fine.
Great. Well, the thing that was dropping in when Jamie was talking is how much we confuse process and content, and that the context in which everything is okay is a process place, not a content
yes.
place, and that's
yes.
the confusion. It often feels contradictory, but it's not. The contradiction is that we're looking at it at two different levels. From a content perspective, something may not be okay, but from a process perspective, okayness is the lens that I view something. And so that place of confusion is just a recognition that the perspectives are from different, places or boards, or we're not looking at the same thing.
Right, which to me, the little image of feeding somebody who's hungry speaks
mm-hmm.
to that perfectly, right? It from a content perspective, well, that is something we would definitely want to address,
mm-hmm.
right? From a process perspective, it's doing it out of love, not out of identification with something wrong, not enough of ego.
Mm-hmm.
Is that,
so? Exactly so. That it's not, it just simply is that the person is hungry and
yes.
that there's something I can do. That's the
yes.
perspective of okayness from which I can address it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, Ashwini, with that, I think we can take it a step beyond that, because what Jamie gets to see in that is his goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The desire, the love and compassion, the desire to participate and be of assistance, that's what we get to see. So
mm-hmm.
if there were no what ego calls problems in the world, we would just be egocentric and we would have no ability to confront that and address that in the words of the workshop, to recognize who we authentically are
mm-hmm.
rather than the story that ego is telling.
Yes, that was dropping in for me in exactly that same way, that the process perspective assists us to be what we, the process context of okayness causes us to be in touch with what we are rather than what we're not.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning, afternoon. This is Diana in Massachusetts.
Well, hello, Diana. What are you seeing?
You know, first, I just have to say, the way you listen and respond to people for me how to treat myself, and I'm learning so much just by listening to the way that works. And so that's the first thing I want to say that I feel very appreciative about. Secondly,
May I interrupt you right there?
Oh, yes.
Yes, because that is exactly what Ashwini and I were just talking about, right? What you're doing in that is having an experience of your authenticity, right? We recognize what we are when we encounter it in, usually, someone else. It resonates. Ashwini talks about it as calibrating. Yeah? So that's just good to see, isn't it? It's confirmation of who we are, what we are authentically. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. Yes, it is, and that was touching. And I think it, what I'm aware, and it does feed into this, because I was aware how the ego content keeps this feeling of powerlessness, powerless and helpless.
Yep.
And when I indulge or, you know, I mean, I sometimes can see that I like to indulge in that feeling of powerless and helpless. And
ego does.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. And when we're identified, that right there's our clue. Oh, I think I've identified with ego because I'm enjoying powerlessness and helplessness? Huh. I don't think that's my heart. Go ahead.
Well, so that's where I would love some guidance is what to record and listen to that would help support the human around that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Very good. Because you know the other experience.
Yes.
Clearly, you know the other experience. We're having this conversation. And so that is what you want to help that human being remember.
Yes.
Who you really are. And the way, I think the easiest way for us to get to that is recordings about what you love, what you enjoy, what you appreciate, what you're grateful for, where you see authenticity reflected. Now, how do you know it's authenticity reflected? Well, you feel it, right? You feel it in your heart. You can feel your heart open. It feels warm, kind, loving, compassionate, generous.
Right. And so, here I am with the powerless and helpless and the feeling that I don't know. And I think...
Oh, of course you do. Of course you do. Of course you know. Of course you know. So, yes, that's very good to see that, right? Oh, ego comes in to take... That's how it does it to you. Oh, I don't know how to... Of course you do, right? And so that's, again, the calibrating, right? So what we're learning to do is recognize when I'm here what that feels like. Right now I'm looking at a beautiful sunshiny day and sunshine on gorgeous trees and that sort of thing. Okay, I love that. I love that, right? So just seeing that, I go to that place of the heart opening. I'm filled with love and kindness and compassion, right? And so that's an experience of that. So I record about that, what that's like. When Ashwini comes on, I hear the birds outside her window, right? When people from the east, when the south people come on, you know, you can hear those birds. When the Hawaii people come on, you can hear those, right? And so we can feel the heart open when we're in that present place. And that's what you want to be recording about. Because every time you listen to those recordings, it's taking you to that place. You're calibrating. You're recognizing that place in you. And before long, you don't actually need anything external, in quotes, to cause you to have that experience. You recognize that's who you are.
Exactly. And you know, I have to say that when I have experiences of the guide, when I do the recording and listening two-handed, that I do treat myself kindly and I do treat myself with respect just Anyway, yeah, thank you very much.
Just as Jamie was pointing at.
Yes, exactly. Go happy.
Okay. Go happy.
Sure, I'm going to bring on the next caller. I'm trying to work with the queue here. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
I can hear you.
That might just be that Diana, that I was not able to mute. So hang on. Let me
Diana
mute her.
Okay.
And here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, here I am. It's Phil.
Hey, Phil. What do you see?
Hi. Well, oh, man, so much, of course. And I'm...
it's a big life,
great.
Isn't it?
It is a big life, a big, wonderful life. And mm-hmm. I'm just so grateful for, like everybody else, you know, for this retreat, for Sangha, for you know, Shweni, for practice. And what I was seeing during this focus is that how conditioning, how interesting it is. It seems like I see two main, for me anyhow, ways that it wants to control. And of course, they're obvious. One is resistance, and one is, what did I call it? Where it wants you to go with, let's see, something that's pleasurable, but there's a word I was thinking of and I can't remember it.
Right, it's kind of an excitement where you go off.
Yeah, a pull to urgency, because that's what I've been watching it. So if the heart wants to do something, it seems like suddenly conditioning makes something else really urgent.
Uh-huh.
Or it makes me want, I can hear it in the background not wanting me to do it.
Uh-huh.
So you can use both those things.
Yes, and what you're describing, Phil, it's very, very subtle and hugely important. What you're watching is how ego takes the energy, takes the life force, and just twists it for its own purposes.
Yeah. Yes. Say a little bit more about that.
Okay. Well, that's where the urgency comes in. There's the life force, and mm-hmm. and when there's something drops in for you to do, well, you're going to have the energy to do it because life is calling you to that mm-hmm. particular participation. So the energy mm-hmm. is there, and all ego can do is take that energy and just morph it into something that will benefit it. So then it starts about the pleasure of it, imagines the completion of it, the outcome, and how that, or it takes it into urgency. Okay? And it's just gobbling up that life force. And then what happens to a person, generally speaking, is suddenly that energy to participate in whatever that way you were being called to participate is gone. And there's this feeling of being deflated, being defeated. And then, of course, the voice comes in and says, well, what is the matter with you? Why are you, right? And blames you for what it just did. That's kind of the whole picture of that. Yeah.
That's a perfect description of the process, yes. And either with the same content or trying to get you away from that one to do something else, like the distraction kind of scenario. And what I love about what we're doing is that, and what to me is so motivating, is that this is all in this is all done so that we won't be present. It's not whether you get this
That's right.
this or that, or doesn't matter. It's just all to keep me from being with life and enjoying the life within and without and everywhere, everything I see.
Well, and a broader way, just to make those two parallel, it's an attempt to keep you from being present to life assisting in your awakening.
Yeah, yes. that's really
mm-hmm.
well put. Uh-huh.
Yeah. All yeah. right. Well, thank you, Phil. That's
thank
very
you,
good.
Sure.
That's very helpful. All right.
Thank
go
you.
Happy.
You go happy, too.
All right.
We're
shall.
Happy. Yeah. Thanks. Bye-bye. Thank
it, you can hear the experience of the liberation in the voice, right,
yes.
Sherry? That there's
yes.
a way in
yes.
which seeing what it does and not going with it moves us from that place of powerlessness or being controlled into being here, which
mm-hmm.
is such a sense of feeling empowered. Because,
yeah.
But not as in the opposite of powerlessness, just that simple sense of there isn't an opposite. And so one doesn't
that's right.
see the absence of it, right? The,
that's right.
It, yeah, that's an interesting place.
Because it is an interesting place, because well-being is powerful in the way you're pointing at, in a completely different way than ego talks about the duality of powerful and powerless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Okay, let's try this again. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Justin in Vermont.
Well, hello, Justin. What are you
Hi.
Seeing?
I'm seeing happy trees and a little more green grass out the window. I guess it was interesting in the first month I had a ready question for the radio show because I had a problem and I didn't know what to focus on. And so when month two came around, I picked a focus, and of course it wasn't perfect, and I recognized that it probably couldn't be according to the voices, and also working with a timer and giving the assignments a certain amount of time in the day and not working on behind assignments, which is how many classes have gone for me in the past,
mm-hmm.
trying to catch up.
Yeah. Yeah. And then giving up, usually. That's the progression for most folks.
Yeah, which...
Get behind, try to catch up, then give up, because I'm so far behind, what's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which hasn't happened here, fortunately.
Very good, very good.
And I think, if anything, the part around having a commitment has... it's different for me, because I think I tend to tune my strings... a little loose, fairly quite loose, as opposed to tight. So what I'm finding is having commitments is not as awful as the voices tell me it's going to be.
Well, yes, that's a good point. They're awful for ego, because ego wants to do things like make Zen synonymous with going with the flow of the 60s, or just it being spontaneous, just seeing what happens in the moment. And that is so far off the mark for us, right? It's wonderful for ego, because then it can come in and just jerk us around in every direction and beat us up afterwards for, so, boy, I've suddenly got a feedback. Ashwini, are you hearing that?
I am, Sherry. I don't know who it is that suddenly is unmuted, or if you are, Justin, are you on earbuds?
No, but I can be.
That would help.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
There we go.
All right. Oh, good. Oh, whew. Hearing myself once is plenty for me.
All right.
So, yes. So one of the things, I don't know if you've been with us long enough to hear us talk about this, but one of the things that Ashwini has helped us with is to make a commitment that is so, wow, there I am again. Justin, say something so I can tell if you're there.
Yeah. I know okay. The feeling. It's an odd one.
Yeah. Okay. So it can be as simple as get out of bed, and as soon as your feet hit the floor, tap the top of your head 3 times. Or bow every time you go out your front door. Bow to it. So it's not the kind of thing that ego puts people through, where they have to commit to a half hour of meditation every morning and a half hour every evening, and if you miss one, then you need to quit practicing. What it's doing is teaching us how to go up against ego's control. That's what a commitment does for us. I mean, I've worked with thousands of people over the years who say, I don't make commitments because every time I make a commitment, I don't keep it, and then I get beaten so badly that it's just not worth it. That's right. And so we don't, you know, of course the person doesn't want to do that. So what we're doing is taking that ability away from ego. So it doesn't matter what you commit to. So you're going to tap the top of your head 3 times when you get out of bed. Great. So you miss a week. You just completely forget. That is really good information to have. How is that possible? How is that possible? Then you put up notes for yourself, and suddenly the notes have disappeared, and you've forgotten again. Okay, now you're Sherlock Holmes. How in the world is this happening? How is this possible? And we begin to get a sense of how easily ego pulls us into unconsciousness. Now you're on the case. Right? Now you want to see that process for what it is. Not so you get to tap the top of your head 3 times for the rest of your life, but because you really want to be free of that ego control.
Yeah.
Okay? So you'll keep us posted, right?
Yes, I will.
All right. Thank you, Justin.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin. Sherry, I'm trying to find Justin in the queue. There you go. It's what you were just talking about is my favorite thing about practice, is to create the structures that assist us to be free of ego and practice with them. It's
yes.
Training.
For the fun of it.
For the fun of it. Well, for the fun of being free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
That place of liberation we were just talking about with Phil. No,
yes.
That simply is it.
Yeah. We used to like to play because it's fun to be here and play. And then it started being all about ego and being right and accomplishing and outcomes and all of those things that just take the life out of life. So now we're moving back into curiosity and interest, fascination,
mm-hmm.
play,
mm-hmm.
fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that takes us to our next assignment, Sherry. Do your daily practice. There's a vitality, a life force, a quickening that is translated through you into action And because there is only one of you in all time, this expression is unique. Martha Graham. Today, pay special attention to how this life force in you is uniquely expressed. Record and listen. Mm.
Beautiful. Mm. Timely.
Timely.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Ashwini, and thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
Let's go happy.